Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Time to go blitzing on Grant and Danny. Covering three teams, the Redskins, the Wizards lost last night. The Caps got an important win last night. JP Finley kicks things off. Insider covering the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. JP, dust is settled now at the quarterback position. As far as Alex Smith goes, he is in. Kirk Cousins will be out. How much of a chance do you give the Redskins to pull off a tag and trade, which is their goal, but an unlikely one?
It's unlikely. I don't see it happening. There's just too much stuff that has to happen, and the risk, to me, far outweighs the reward. I do think maybe there's a chance a team like the Jets or a team like Cleveland that have extra second-round picks, maybe they value Kirk so much and they don't think they could get him on the free agent market that they'll try to make a play, but I put it at less than 5%.
Comedian, actor, writer, producer Jordan Peele Finley, where we stand now with Alex Smith in terms of this offense, and we all kind of know that the weapons dropped off significantly, and that affected Kirk Cousins' performance, his offense's performance. Smith needs his weapons too, maybe even more so than Cousins does. Where are we at in terms of grabbing new pieces for him, or is it just, hey, Reedon Thompson will be back, and that's good enough?
Well, David Robinson, the Admiral, you got to think they've got a full offseason and a full draft to try to add to that offense. And, you know, the last few years, or certainly when they had DeSean and Pierre, you didn't think that they needed help at the receiver spots. I think now they need to sign somebody, whether that's spending a bunch of money or it's even just bringing in a veteran that's done it before. I think you need somebody at receiver. I'd expect them to bring back Ryan Grant, but I don't think that's going to have the Redskins populace, you know, marching around high-fiving. I think you're also looking at maybe a running back in the second round. You know, everybody loves the kid, Sony Michel from Georgia. There'll also be some running backs on free agency that could make sense. You know, they haven't really had that bruiser type of running back, and people draw the connections to Jeremy Hill, but there's a bunch of other guys that'll be available, and running backs tend to not cost you a lot of money. And now that they have Alex Smith, the 13th pick is wide open. I think you truly stick to best player available for them now. And they didn't have that capability when they weren't sure what was going to happen with Kirk before.
And let's not forget, I mean, we've debated Smith versus Cousins, and I think that debate will go on for some time. But there is no debating that Smith has never done it with as little as what the Redskins had last year when Cousins did, and has never put up numbers without a ton of help in terms of running game and defense. So they've got to surround him. He is a dependent guy like Cousins is, with quality personnel. Speaking of defense and the pass rush, numbers came out that were beneficial to Preston Smith winning one-on-one matchups more than anybody else in the league. Junior Gallette in the top 10 in that category as well. Do you expect that they bring back Gallette and Trent Murphy and just kind of go forward with the same group at outside linebacker, or will they try to make a splash with someone who's higher upside?
I think at, you know, in the draft, you got to look at if a kid like Marcus Davenport or one of these really high-end pass rushers gets to 13, I think you always have to be closing. You always have to be rushing the passer in this league. And if there's somebody they really like there, I think you always want to bolster that position just because it's so important. And who knows if they're going to be able to re-sign Preston a year from now. They've tried to continue to backfill outside linebacker, and you can argue about the success, especially Ryan Anderson. We didn't see really anything from him last year to be excited about. But I don't know that they look for that in free agency just because that position's gotten to be so expensive. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if pass rushers on the high on the board for them at 13.
You can hear why he's one of the great bassists of all time, Jaco Pastorius Finley. Thank you very much, my friend. Talk soon.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
There he goes. Let's talk Wizards, Tommy. Ben Standing knows his Wizards. That's why he's on at the Beltway Blitz. Ben, everybody's yelling at me, because I think you and I are in lockstep on this, and I want you to try to explain this to me or folks out there. I don't see a path to the Wizards signing Kelly Oubre after his rookie deal is done here after the following season. I know they technically can with the stretch provision or some other machinations. How could they do that? There would be four guys in the luxury tax. I don't see the path to it. Do you?
Well, I think I can see a path in this sense. I definitely have thought about this a lot because we're at, you know, with the idea of this trading deadline, the question is, what do the assets do the Wizards have to make a significant move? Oubre is an obvious attractive piece, and the question is, you know, is that worth trading, considering his potential? At the time that Oubre would become a free agent, I mean, they could give him an extension this offseason, but if they wait through 2019, at that point, Jan Mahimi only has 1 year left on his contract. So at that point, this disaster of a contract is really not as big of a deal. And in the worst-case scenario, you could maybe pull a Nicholson-type trade where you attach a first-round pick to Mahimi and send him out and thus opening up some space to some degree. So I guess there's some potential, but it's certainly a potential issue for the Wizards down the line. But look, you know, with the way things are going at the moment, it's hard to know what this team will look like in a couple of years. It's certainly something to keep an eye on for sure.
Ben, in terms of the deadline tomorrow, what is a likely outcome? What is a best-case scenario outcome?
So I feel like the bar on the Wizards keeps moving now because we keep having these issues, you know, with this whole John Wall, Gore Top situation going on now. Is that going to lead to the organization wanting to make some sort of move? What I was hearing as of yesterday was, despite the rumor of a DeAndre Jordan interest, despite, you know, talk of Martin Gortat being traded, the Wizards are likely to be boring on trade deadline day. They do need depth. I think that is pretty clear, particularly on the wing. That is something they could maybe pick up in the buyout market after the trade deadline, similar to how last year they picked up a Brandon Jennings, who got bought out by the Knicks. But I think that, you know, they're probably looking at, you know, if they're going to make a trade, probably something like a second-round pick, something like that. You know, maybe they can move some dead money at the sort of the back end of their roster to make a deal work. I, you know, somebody like Marco Bellinelli with the Hawks is the kind of player I think they need, somebody who can make those open threes that Jody Meeks is missing right now. He can create his own shot a little bit. That to me is sort of where they're at. So I'm not expecting any type of massive deal. And frankly, I don't think they need one. They've been playing better. We can debate the whole better with John Wall thing or not, but they've been playing better. There is talent here. They just need to sort of get their head out of their you-know-what, and they've been doing that lately. So I think they just need to fix the back part of the rotation more than worry about making some massive deal.
Thank you, Ben. Always appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
I want to talk puck, Tommy. J.J. Reagan talks some puck. He talks some puck real good for NBC Sports. Washington covers the Capitals. For them, Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver, not the Fox NFL Sunday commentator. Jimmy Johnson, Reagan. Talk about last night here. Backstrom saved their bacon a little bit, huh?
Yeah, he definitely did. I mean, if you wanted to write up a formula for how not to play in a playoff situation, that was pretty much it. The Caps allowed a goal in the first 2 minutes of the game. They took two third-period penalties, one late when the score was tied. They completely took their foot off the gas when they took the lead in the second period, allowing Columbus to take control of the game and tie it up. And as you said, Backstrom really saved their bacon. And not only did they end up winning the game, but they won it in regulation, which is huge because that means Columbus didn't even get to salvage the 1 point for the loss. So that was a big, big win despite doing everything they could to lose that game.
My big development last night was Braden Holtby was tremendous, and I think he needed to be. Sure, they needed the 2 points as a team, one of their biggest games of the year. But Holtz was in a little bit of a rut, and I thought he was fantastic. And it could be a good sign moving forward when you got to get him hot going down the stretch.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he has been so consistent in the playoffs until last year. Last year was a bad playoff performance by him. For someone who has been so consistent in the playoffs, he is technically the second best playoff goaltender ever. So it was good to see him step up in a pressure situation. He's done that a lot this season, maybe not in pressure situations because they haven't had a lot of them, but this may have been one of the biggest games they've had all year. So the fact that he was able to perform the way he did and keep them in the game for as long as he did was definitely a good sign going forward.
Jimmy John's makes delicious subs. Jimmy John's Reagan. Quickly, let me ask you this. Trade deadline, not too far down the road. I've heard Mike Green rumors. I've never wanted anything less in my entire life. That includes the time I was supposed to eat squash. It's terrible. So is eggplant. I have no interest in that, but what might they do?
Defense is definitely the priority there. They have two defensemen in their top six right now, and even if they were all veterans, they're still not playing well enough defensively. So defense is what I think they would look at. Maybe a top four guy, but probably more of a depth player that they can stick in just in case they're a little bit worried about Madison Bowie and Christian Juice.
JJ, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you joining us on the Blitz.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
It's the latest on the Caps, the Wiz, and the Redskins. Looking forward probably this time next week to a lot of Nats conversation, by the way. They'll be back on the daily Blitz lineup as they get ready to report to spring training with pitchers and catchers reporting. Speaking of report dates, Matt Patricia is actually being introduced as the coach of the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Did he get a haircut?
Yes.
Did he get a beard trim?
Yes.
We will discuss Matt Patricia to the Lions, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Two Patriots assistants agreed to coach elsewhere. One's actually going to.
One guy did.
Matt Patricia, Detroit Lions head coach, going to be introduced this afternoon. Lions just tweeted out the picture the Colts were hoping to tweet out today with Josh McDaniels of Patricia and his family. Cute family. His wife, two little kids. His one kid is missing his two front teeth, by the way. Hilarious. Walking in the hallway of the Detroit Lions facility. Patricia did cut his hair, so he's got that going for him.
Shaved it a little bit, trimmed it, the beard.
He groomed the beard in that he knocked it down to a reasonable length. It's not a two-guard or it's not cleaned up per se, but it's just not unkempt anymore. He's not wearing a suit. Looks like he's going with, maybe he could change, I guess, technically, before the press conference. So he could go suit and tie. But as of right now, he's mic'd up. He's wearing basically like just a blue generic dress shirt over jeans and a jacket. Ready to go be introduced as the head coach.
Yeah, just I guess whatever works for you, buddy.
He got his job being this way. Don't be something you're not. I was hoping he was going to show up with a backwards hat, a pencil in his ear. I'm not even doing a bit. Stay on brand and be who you are. We always hear people say they're coaches. You got to be yourself. That is who Matt Patricia is.
Mm-hmm.
He's being introduced by the Colts. Let's localize this thing to the Redskins' biggest story for them. Obviously, has been the quarterback position. But whether or not Alex Smith succeeds here is going to largely be determined by how good their defense is. Some of the numbers say that they've got a decent chance, if they can keep their personnel, to make some strides next year if they get healthy.
So this is interesting to me. It was forwarded to me by a couple listeners via Twitter. I'm at Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. This came from, I believe, Matt Harmon, some of the next generation NFL stats that they do, right? So we always look at, did this team have a good pass rush? What do you look at? Sack total, right? That's the inevitable result. Now, I would argue sacks are a result of a good process of rushing the passer consistently. You get home, you get a sack, et cetera, right? Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get Carson Wentz. But overall, you want to create pressure that leads to good things for defenses. So they've come up with something called pressure rate, meaning I would take it as you're the left tackle, I'm the defensive end or outside linebacker. How many times do I beat you and affect the play in some way, right? What percentage of my pass rushes? Now, every time, I'm not going to get a sack because the quarterback could slide, step up, throw it away, incomplete, something. Pressure rate is a good indicator of how effective somebody is. Let me go down the list here. Number 12, Carl Lawson, Cincinnati, 13%, 8.5 sacks. That fits. Everson Griffin, 13.5% pressure rate, 13 sacks. That fits. Ryan Kerrigan, number 10 on this list, 13%, 13 sacks. So far, this all kind of jives, right? You get a lot of pressures, you get sacks. Then a couple outliers. Vinny Curry in Philadelphia, situational pass rusher, 13.5%, only 3 sacks. A couple of the guys, as you kind of go up the list, Von Miller, some of the names, Aaron Donald, Yannick Ngakoue, Jacksonville.
And that means 13% of the time they beat their guy?
Pretty much is the way I read
for
this.
For a quarterback pressure?
Yes, their pressure rate, meaning they're affecting the play in somehow. It could still work out poorly for the defense, but it means your pass rushing is effective, basically.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't result in sacks. There are a few outliers. There are 3 on this list. Vinny Curry, who only had 3 sacks. Junior Gallette of the Washington Redskins is number 3 in pressure rate. 15% of his pass rushes, a full percentage and a half point better than Everson Griffin, a guy that you and I both think is a superstar in this league. Better than guys like Robert Quinn for the LA Rams. only had 3 sacks. Now, less rushes, less attempts, maybe more results in more. We'll see about that. DeMarcus Lawrence is number 2 in the NFL in pressure rate. Stands to reason, 14.5 sacks career year. The number 1 in pressure rate in the entire National Football League, a third Redskin at just under 16%, Preston Smith, ended up with 8 sacks. So if you kind of take that same rate, apply it to the same series of plays over the course of another year, you're talking about another 13 sacks for Preston Smith. You're talking about 7 or 8 for Junior Gallette. Those rates are elite. These are the 12 best in the sport this year. 3 Redskins in the top 12. 3. That stunned me. Kerrigan doesn't stun me. That feels about right, doesn't it? That's probably where you'd slot him, 10, 11, 12 in terms of every down pass rushers.
Yeah.
Those other two guys, though, 1 and 3 in the NFL. Wow.
Yeah, I think any stat that has Preston Smith as the most effective pass rusher probably has some holes and some flaws to it. So it makes me not want to dismiss it outright, but not completely buy it. However, I think the bigger, larger point, if we don't just stare at one tree and we kind of look from the helicopter at the forest here, I agree with the premise. The Redskins had a pretty good pass rush last year. I actually, when I said this on the show a lot, really liked what Junior Gallette did in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You could see that he got his sea legs under him. He really got back into football shape. He was healthy, and he had some bend coming around the edge, and he got to quarterbacks, not always for sacks, but for pressures or for a holding penalty or had him move up in the pocket. The problem was at the end of the year, they didn't have Jonathan Allen and Matt Ioannidis playing A-level football.
That's it to me.
And other than Anthony Lanier collapsing the pocket, nobody was. So quarterbacks kind of moved up and were able to escape and extend a play and make a throw. But I really liked Junior Gallette. I want to re-sign him badly. I would love for them to bring him back. Preston Smith was outstanding in the second half of the season as well. The problem with Preston Smith is he still goes way too many games where he's quiet, way too many weeks mm-hmm. where he's just a guy on the field as a second-round pick. I don't think he'll ever be a star. I'm not pegging him as a Pro Bowler. But I think he'll have plenty of 8.5, 9-sack seasons in his career where he gets 2.5 in a game a couple times. And over the course of the year, there's inconsistencies, but the numbers look decent. The way he helps you, though, is he's also really good against the run.
Mm-hmm.
He's long. He makes athletic plays, batting balls down, and picks a pass off a season, you know, to help you and win a game. That's a big deal. I actually think their personnel at that position is solid. Would I like to do better? Yes. Because on an A to F scale, Kerrigan is an A minus. He's not Von Miller. He's not one of the best. He's never going to be a 15, 16 sack defensive player of the year type, which you'd love at that position. But you could do so much worse, and he's a really good talent. Preston Smith is probably a B minus or a C plus, a tick above average. Yeah, that's probably not fair. I would say a B minus. He's better than average. Junior Gallette could be a B player. Trent Murphy had 9 sacks in his one season where he was good. He was a B player. 4 of those guys in the B or better range is pretty good. It's like building a starting rotation with all middle-of-the-rotation starters.
Yeah, you could do a lot worse. Now, a couple notes on this. Preston Smith and Junior Gallette have a fraction, Junior Gallette especially, a fraction of the plays on whether they're actually rushing the pass or of some of the other guys on the list. DeMarcus Lawrence, north of 400 plays. Yannick Ngakoue, over 400 plays. Aaron Donald, those that come off the field, 450 plays.
Also, those guys are down defensive tackles.
Yes.
So basically, on a passing play, they're going to be graded as having, quote-unquote, rushed the passer because they're just trying to get up the field.
Everson Griffin, 463 plays, the most on this list. So my point is, if you take the sack rate, pressure rate, and give those guys the same number of plays, now it wouldn't be in your best interest because I don't know that Junior Gallette should be an every down player. But you see the point I'm making. He had an impact in half of the plays of some of the other guys. He very easily, you replay everything as it was this season, could have had 6 sacks. I think, reasonably. He had 1 called back because of penalty, a couple near misses, whatever. You run all those same things again via computer simulation, he has 6. You give him 400 plays, which, again, may not be in your best interest, but let's say you do, he could be a 12-sack player. My point here is, you've got effective pass rush. I think you said it in the middle of what you were talking about. I agree with everything you said. To me, this is such a glaring, oh my God, sound the alarm, shoot the fireworks in the air, the interior of that defensive
yes.
line. The ineffectiveness, especially without Jonathan Allen and Ioannidis being handicapped, if that group is upgraded, you've actually got something special.
I agree.
Here.
And that could be Vita Vea. It could be somebody else. But it needs to be a down defensive lineman, another John Allen, another rich man's Matt Ioannidis.
You got a chance to be
him.
Plus there with these three guys.
If you have Lanier, Allen, Ioannidis, and a player to be named later who you add in free agency or the draft who's a offense wrecker, mm-hmm. just a wrecking ball up front, then suddenly you probably are pretty good in your front seven. If you're pretty good in your front seven, you're pretty good on defense. Here's the question. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines open. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Are the Redskins set at outside linebacker if they can bring back Junior Gallette and Trent Murphy? Murphy's going to be fairly easy to bring back, I think, coming off of his ACL injury. But if they can bring Gallette back in addition to Murphy to pair with Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan, is that good enough, or do you want to do better at such an important position? Because while they're passable and they do a solid job, it's not high upside or sexy. 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was putting together my do not playlist for the wedding, for the
so
DJ.
So important. Most important thing you do.
And Danny had to take a trip down memory lane where he told his DJ not to play Train. Hey. And he played it anyway.
Played that song tonight.
Why did he play it if you told him not to?
This is a mistake I made. I clarified for you, and it sounds like it's a good situation. I met with the company, with the guy. It was a small operation. It's like, look, super cool guys. I'm a DJ in Brooklyn right now. And it's like, I'm also doing like a startup where we just incubate ideas. But anyway, I met with this guy, and he's like, I'm not the one that's going to be there. My guy's going to be there. He's super cool. He's got sleeve tattoos. He's like a super, just an awesome dude. Way cooler than everyone else at our little party. He will know. He will not. He'll not play your stuff, and he's going to play a lot of Michael Jackson per your request. 10 minutes in, everyone's dancing. Everyone's having a nice time. And then, hey.
Did you get mad? Did you say anything to him?
Curious. I did one over, and I go, that was the only thing I asked for.
You did not say that.
I did. I said, the only thing I asked for is that song not be put. He goes, all right, Matt, I'm gonna mix it in. I go, first of all, I didn't know you were British at all. That was an ambush. And second of all, he mixed it after like a minute and a half. And I go, it's a minute and a half that I want back. This.
You love
this
Train.
Crap. This thing was at my, no one cared. Everyone was fine. It was like for 10 seconds. Like, oh, that's
I
a fun interlude.
I like this song just fine.
This made me livid. And that's really the theme here. You and your future lady wife are going to notice 1,000 things that only you care about.
Yeah.
But no, everyone will have a great time. This still sticks in my craw. How many years later is it? Eight years later.
I think it's 2010, right?
Mm.
So did I need to clarify one more time. You walked up to him and actually complained about
it. I said, I can't. Why are you playing this? And he goes, what are you talking about? Like, he couldn't believe that I would question his DJing. It is my wedding, after all. I'm sorry to put you out. We're only paying a lot of money for it. He put this. I couldn't. It's not where I'm at. I'm going to mix it in. And he gave me this
what
kind of like.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You mix it out.
No, he mixed it like and did a thing where like after another 35 seconds, like mixed into some other tune. He like did the thing where he like touched his ear because that's all right. DJs do now. They don't actually scratch and do the things they did in the 80s. He just has a MacBook, and he just like hit a different button on his mouse. But he touched his ear. That bleeping song still
haunts me. Why did you hate
me.
That song?
I can't imagine why I hated it.
No. I'm not even saying it's good, which I like it. I think it is. But you only put one song on your list?
No, I had tons. I said,
oh, okay.
We're doing, that's what I said, more of this. I said, you cannot play too much Michael Jackson.
That was your instruction.
To the DJ.
So my
guy.
Instructions have been, I could actually pull up the email. Actually, let me do that while you're talking.
So none of that. It's just so depressing.
Tommy just mixed it.
I'm going to mix it in, man.
Grab your ear when you do it next time. How about Thumb mixing some Michael Jackson and Train?
That's all they do. Now, you know what that costs? $5,000.
You could charge me $6,800 or something.
So I had all that. I said, no choreographed dances.
This is a great bit.
No, none of the nonsense of like the chicken dance. None of the sad to sad. Two step now, that.
So that was one of my instructions.
We're not doing that.
I said, and my DJ is awesome, by the way. He did the wedding for my brother and his wife, among other things. This is a pretty good bit, Tommy.
Funny.
I like where your head's at. But he basically said, what don't you guys want? Let me know, whatever. And we basically have very few instructions on things not to play. Allison hates a couple songs that I like. She hates, like, Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
She hates Don't Stop Believing?
Like, when everyone in the bar starts screaming that song. She does not want that played at all. Like,
you know, the Song of Happiness?
Exactly. It drives me out of my mind. That was the closest thing to a fight that we've gotten in at any point. I absolutely wanted it played. She said no. She despises it.
Unbelievable to me.
She calls it basically, she's like, oh, you mean every frat boy, white boy anthem? She just can't stand it. I think it's awesome. So she doesn't want that. She doesn't want Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, like those kind of songs.
She's taking a flamethrower to fun.
I agree. You're right.
You're right. We shouldn't do things that everyone likes.
So she wants those out. But other than those, the only instructions we really gave are no line dancing.
Right.
No cha-cha slide.
No electric slide.
No electric slide. No any of that crap where everyone has to do something and get in a line and go in.
Everyone thinks it's funny. It's not funny.
None of that.
Do you want to hear I just found the email that I sent to John DePompa. Do you want to hear the songs that I
can't find mine,
off?
Which I'm mad about, so please do.
The only songs Tommy, that were on our
A little
do
bit
not
less
play
on
list.
This.
Fit it down a
there
little bit.
There you go. You're good.
I love the Prince, by the way.
Yes. I love
I hate
the whole
train.
Bit.
This up
I just
as
couldn't
much
hear
as
dark.
God, I hate the train.
The only songs that we had on our do not playlist, anything Maroon 5, line dancing, and no pop country.
So,
so you
like,
don't want
Florida Georgia Line, hold it up like ladder.
Oh, none of that. No, it was parentheses. No Florida Georgia
Line. I wonder if I would have should have said no pop country.
No country, because they'll do it. They'll just do it because they're excited to mix it and show that they do different things.
Based on Dar's wedding and the fact that Dar actually introduced me to these guys, I also put lots of Chainsmokers for the record.
Ugh.
I love hopping around to the Chainsmokers. It's gonna be here's our thing. It's gonna be a couple of hours of a bunch of Bruno Mars and stuff like that. I told him I want a bunch of Bruno, a bunch of Timberlake, a bunch of Michael Jackson.
Danceable things.
I did request Miley Cyrus.
Part in the USA?
What were
party
the songs
the
that you requested in? Other than that?
I'd have to pull it up. I really don't remember off the top of my head. There are a bunch of them. But
so there was one. I went for one obscure song just that it would be fun for me.
Why can't I find this damn email?
From back in the 90s when I used to watch MTV religiously, there was a group called the Stereo MCs that had two hits. And I go, you play one of those and I'll lose my damn mind. And he did, and no one else knew what it was. No one else got it. And I played, I danced my bag off to Step It Up by the Stereo MCs. Look it up. It's a great jam.
Never heard of that.
No one has. It came out the same year as the Blind Melon song, where the no Rain and like Janet Jackson's If was big. And for whatever reason, for like 6 months, they played Stereo MCs all the time, like they're the next big deal. And they went away. Never heard from them again. I got it played. That train song, I'm telling you, to this day, it still bothers me that it happened at my wedding.
I think the last hour of our wedding is just going to be a lot of, like, it's going to be ratchet hour. It's going
to
be a lot of just rap.
I will tell you, you have to specifically spell it out, what you want. I would even go as hard as to say, make a list and just say, choose from this list. So, in other words, you give them 6 hours of music for 3 hours of a party and say, anything on this list is fine. Here are my must plays. Everything else surprised me. If it's not on this list, I will not pay you.
You should come see my list. There's like 20 songs.
I'm going to come look at it right now. And I'm also asking my wedding planner to send me back what I sent to DJ because I can't find it anywhere.
Tommy, I love this. I love the everything but the train you keep anchoring with.
Yeah.
It's great.
Tommy's just mixing and matching. Why didn't I hire Tom as my DJ? Now, he wouldn't have been able to enjoy the wedding, but you could have made 1,500 or something
I hate
like
song.
That. Let's go to Edward in Bladensburg and wrap this up with a little Redskins call. What's up, Edward?
Sorry, Edward. What's up, man?
No, it's okay. It was actually funny listening to you guys talk about those songs because it made me start thinking about some songs that annoy me too. But look, I think the Redskins are just like – I honestly think they're three players away, but here's my two real quick. I think they're one player on that D-lineman from being, in my opinion – one or two steps behind the Eagles. And it's sad that we have to use that as an analogy, but it's true because look at the Eagles. Their front three or four got pressure, which allowed their cornerback, who in a sense really isn't that good, but they looked good because their front three or four was able to get pressure to the quarterback, sack him, they can make errant throws, force stuff. And I think they're really actually a linebacker away from who can cover, you know, tight ends being better. They actually only have one cornerback right now, but they can make the cornerbacks look good if their linebackers in front three or four is better. What is your opinion?
Thank you, dude. To me, what I care about with defense, I'd love to build everything, be able to stop everything. I'd love to build a Seahawks. I'd love to build a 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens. The Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl, won a couple years in a row. Be able to stop everything and be great. If I'm picking and choosing my priorities, the first thing that I'm taking is consistently affect the quarterback. I now, specifically within that, only care about affecting him up the middle. That's how you beat Brady. It's not outside pass rush where he steps up, pats the football, and finds somebody else. It's, in the Redskins' case, two guys, sometimes three, depends on your formation, whatever. It's the interior pressure that allows for it. Those ends, winning one-on-one means nothing if a guy can step up. It means zero.
Yes, all that matters to me,
interior pressure.
Pocket collapsing. Two words in football, collapse the pocket.
Collapse the pocket.
Assault the quarterback. Two things. One, NFL ratings convo next. Two, I just got the email sent to me with all of my songs that I wanted and didn't want. I will read you that email, and we'll go over the NFL ratings from the Super Bowl next on Grant and Danny.
Folks, Danny Ruhier here for my guys at ProFlowers. I love them. I've been using ProFlowers for years. Not just something you say in a read. It's something that is true. I did their Pro Gifter service. I got a different thing coming from my wife than I did last year. I keep it mixed up. Just win Valentine's Day. Do what I have done. Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries. I crush it with ProFlowers. You know that Valentine's Day is coming up. Not too distant future, guys. Make the big impression. And as I said, win Valentine's Day. You can choose classic red roses from the Rose Collection or try something new from the assortment of other bouquets and plants. My wife loves peonies. I got those last year. I've gotten tulips in the past. Every flower they have in stock, delivered fresh, and it stays fresh for at least 7 days. You choose your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Now, you got to take advantage. Here's the limited time special. Our listeners to the Grant and Danny program, you can send a bouquet to their Valentine, and you save 20% off your purchase of $29 or more. 20%. That's what you're going to save with my promo code Danny. So go to ProFlowers.com. Use that promo code Danny in the special codes box at checkout. Save 20% and win Valentine's Day. No more train.
This one goes out to you and yours. Tommy tells us this would be his number one do not play song. This is his soul sister.
What? What is this? Black Eyed Peas?
I don't even know what this is.
It's Michael Franti and Spearhead. It's one of the worst songs I've ever heard. I had to play it pretty much 45 minutes on rotation in college radio.
Oh.
This is one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
But is it obscure enough that it wouldn't be played anyway?
No, it was very popular.
Really?
It was very popular, and the chorus is I love you. So it's something that would be played at every wedding.
Actually, this could be something we could take a couple calls on. 800-636-1067. What song was on your do not playlist for your wedding? Danny's was Train Soul Sister. All right, so are you ready for my list here?
Yeah, so this is your request list.
And I do hate this song for whatever it's worth. That sounded awful. That was like an island music. It was just terrible. All right, so here's what. Do you want to know anything about like during dinner? Do you care about that?
I care about all of it. So
okay.
Now, clarify one time. This is yes or no's.
This is what we sent the DJ about dinner music requests.
Okay, requests, yes.
Okay, dinner music preference, it says. Now, a lot of this is Allison influenced.
Can I stop you really quickly?
I've never heard of some of this. Yeah.
Do not say the first dance song because I will be taking bets on it at your wedding.
Well, we've already got prop bets. You know about that.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm going to be taking side bets.
Oh, I like
so
that.
You got
side action on that?
Oh, yeah. So I don't want the first dance song out there.
You know, we did prop bets for the wedding.
Of course, I filled them out.
I think you submitted your prop bets, so we'll see if you win any cash. All right, so here we go. What genre of style of music would you like to hear during dinner? Dinner music, we would like classic retro-style love songs, jazzy or Motown hits that are upbeat and or covers of Beatles love melodies. Now, more detail on dinner music requests. Artists would include Elvis, Paul McCartney, Ray Charles. I don't even know who Thelonious is.
Thelonious Monk. You're looking for some Yaz there. That's
okay.
Yaz.
I don't know what that is. That's an Allison influence. Monk. That's the second page. Thelonious Monk, your boy. Miles Davis, Chet Baker, no idea.
Oh, Chet Baker.
Nina Simone, Melody.
Chet Baker sounds like a guy in a 1950s novel that's
Nora
really good
Jones,
at basketball.
Erica Badu, spelled really weirdly. The Roots, I don't know anything about any of that other than The Roots.
I like that it's eclectic.
Yes.
Very different genres in there.
Songs for dinner would include, I don't know if this is for dinner. It looks like this is for dinner. Nighttime is the Right Time.
Sure.
You Got Me.
Mm-hmm.
And This Magic Moment.
Yeah, it's this kind of stuff.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
that sets a good tone for dinner.
Atmosphere.
Paul McCartney, Kisses on the Bottom, and anything from that kind of genre. Now, if you want to get into dance music, here's what we sent.
Okay.
What genres or types of music would you like to hear while dancing? As much Michael Jackson as you can give us.
Yeah.
All the Bruno Mars. I know you hate Bruno.
No, I like the good Bruno.
Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Taylor Swift. Dari, you love me some Taylor Swift. You're happy about that.
I do.
Backstreet Boys, NSYNC.
I'm talking about.
Okay.
Speaking my language.
Couple of the hits, though.
I'm mainly in on what you're doing.
You're
going
to hate this. Chainsmokers.
No.
You know how I like to hop around to the Chainsmokers.
You love to hop. You get your arms out wide like a scarecrow, and you kind of do this move where you kind of are like mildly flexing your abs as you kind of rock back and forth.
It's my favorite move.
It's a very curious dance.
As the night goes on, let's transition to lots of hip hop. Some older hits mixed in for the old heads. I put that. That's kind of funny. Older hits for old people.
But what I want to hear from you what that means.
It's stuff you would like, Danny.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
She's my cherry pie. Like that kind of stupid thing.
Oh.
You know, like.
I think you want that earlier in the night.
No, I'm not saying that's late in the night. I said late in the night hip-hop. This is just in random order.
Okay.
Some older hits for the old heads.
Older
What's
hits
the
for
other
old
one
heads.
Like, she's a brick? That kind of crap.
House. Yes, like 1970s disco type
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Nothing super cliche. Nothing like the YMCA or Celebrate.
Good.
How about that?
Very specific. I like it. This is good.
What songs would you like to request? We must play Shout. We have a family tradition where my dad yells tuna like an Animal House and we all get down on the ground and do the tuna. So during Shout, at some point, everyone that's a male in the Paulson family will get down on the ground on our backs and kick our legs doing tuna to Shout. Cool tradition.
Yeah, there you
go. We'll do that. At some point, I want, what's a Nathaniel Rateliff? What's that guy's?
I don't know him.
He sings the song, Son of a Bitch.
I know the Shot Blocker, Rateliff.
No, this is a different guy. No. Party in the USA by Miley.
Yep.
When we go more hip-hop heavy, mm-hmm. Pop That, Blow the Whistle, All I Do Is Win, Turn Down for What, Fireball, Bottoms Up, Yeah by Usher, a couple other songs like that.
It's a little bit of the newer hip-hop. Not the newest, where it's like nonsense mumble rap. You know, you don't have any of that, which is good.
Yeah.
None of the same thing with the repetitive, crappy
this
drum
kit. Tommy. The old heads will love this. Okay, then you got interactive dance, check yes or no. Cupid Shuffle.
No.
Cha-Cha Slide.
No.
No. Gangnam Style. No.
How about no?
The Wobble. No.
No.
The Macarena.
No.
No.
Are we teaching anyone how to Dougie?
Pen, pineapple, apple pen?
I don't even know what that
is. What the hell is that?
I've never even heard of that. But no, that probably isn't going to make the cut.
I need to tell you this. We said no line dancing, but we didn't tell any of my family that there was going to be no line dancing. My mom specifically learned the dance to the Wobble.
You're
so
kidding.
She wouldn't be out of place when it started. I had to tell her the day of. And she was heartbroken.
I think you had to play the Wobble for it.
Didn't do it.
Oh.
Said no.
Here's a big one. I don't know what you guys did in this regard. I know Dara allowed for requests because I made one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to take song requests from your guests, yes or no?
No
requests without bride or groom approval or a $100 tip to the DJ is our instruction.
I do not want to be bothered with that. I have enough going on. I'm trying to have my own wedding. I need to talk to 1,000 people who are there to see me.
Yeah.
No requests. I paid for this.
What if they requested Train?
You're screwed. It's not your time. You don't get any requests. Enjoy the party or go home. Either way, you're here for me.
Additional do not playlist, Journey, Bon Jovi. I'm not happy about either.
That's on the don't playlist?
That's on the don't play.
Allison hates Journey.
Too fun. It's too fun.
I'm telling you now.
No, she's right. It's too fun.
It's one of my biggest issues with this entire wedding.
Yeah, but I mean, think about this. Think about the scenario. Everybody's had a bunch to drink and they're celebrating and a song comes on that everyone likes. You're right. It's miserable.
I hope there's not much Drake. I hope there's a lot of Ludacris. I'd also like to add those things.
Okay. But did you put that in writing?
No, I'm going to add Ludacris to his list right now.
Ludacris.
Also, I want at least 2 cameos by Jim Tom Sula at my wedding, where he just grabs the mic and says something weird.
Man.
Grant and Danny.
One of your brothers giving
Why
a speech.
Why isn't Tommy bringing the sound machine? That would be good. Just play that over top of the speaker. You're listening to The Fan. We will kick off the 1 o'clock hour with Chris Russell on the Red Zone. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.